First of all, however, it is time to talk to Laura. Laura, I would like you to fulfil your role this evening of myth-busting. Bust a few myths.
Well, Philip, my favourite myth at the moment is that the election was very close and that it was all a contest between the two big parties, and miraculously Malcolm Turnbull won without a plan, despite Labor having a really excellent plan. And I would just say that if you look at the primary votes, Labor's primary vote didn't go up very much, about 35%. The coalition's was 42%. The crucial difference here, as I keep banging on about, was the minor parties and the way their votes sprayed around in all sorts of different ways in all the various electorates. And I think it's interesting that that's the lesson that the major parties have actually taken out of this campaign so far.
You've written that the language and the context of this parliament will be very different from the last one.
Well, yes. We now don't look like we're going to have a minority government, which we talked about last week, but nonetheless, there's that sort of sense of everything being on edge because Malcolm Turnbull doesn't have a very big majority. But it is a very different sort of dynamic to the one we had in 2010, where Tony Abbott was threatening to tear down the place every day that the parliament sat, and it was all very melodramatic and the government could fall any day. It's not just that Tony Abbott's not there, and it's not just that we don't have that sort of really knife edge number of seats. Both Malcolm Turnbull and Bill Shorten are talking about working cooperatively. They're saying they're heeding the message from the voters that they've had enough of the way things are done by the two major parties, and that they're going to try to work constructively. Now, whether this actually happens in practice, we've got to wait and see, but I think it's quite a good way for us to be starting the parliament.
I'll be talking to Margot about Pauline Hanson's change of focus from Aborigines and Asians to Muslims. And yet, we've just elected the first Muslim woman to enter the House of Reps.
And isn't this a particularly sweet outcome, Philip? Anne Ali, who's a very well-respected expert in counter-terrorism, was the subject of a sort of smear campaign by the Liberal Party in Western Australia, and has actually won the only seat to fall to Labor in the West, partly because of a pushback by the voters in her seat against the smear campaign. And she's been saying that when she was out door knocking, people would say, well, actually, I've always voted Liberal all my life, but I think what they've done to you is disgusting, so you'll have my vote. So that's been one of the sort of nice outcomes of this campaign. And along with what's happened in Tasmania, which is that Lisa Singh and Richard Cormack from the Liberals in Tasmania have both been getting really good votes despite being dumped down their party's tickets for various crimes that they may or may not have committed.
Mad Hatter Catter is a regular listener to the program, as he always reminds me when I bump into him at an airport. And there's another slightly pleasant story to report, because he is resistant to union bashing.
He is. Well, Bob Catter's actually always been very sort of he's very sort of old school Labor in a way, Philip. Very protectionist on industry policy and sort of supportive of unions in a good way. Doesn't see them all as these horrendous ugly power blocks. So I think he'll be an interesting one to watch, as he was in the former minority government. I don't know whether that actually extends to things like the ABCC. His vote won't be crucial in this now that we've got a majority government, but I think he'll be an interesting voice as part of what I think is an interesting combination of crossbenchers in the House who are really in the centre of politics, if you like, rather than in one of the extremes, which you probably have a little bit more of in the Senate.
Laura, I live My local member is Barnaby Joyce, let's put it that way. And I just heard on the news that he's going to launch a new bank shortly. Are you up to speed on that?
Actually, I'm not sure. I mean, I know he's going to do it, but I don't know the full details. But this is part of the meeting that Malcolm Turnbull will have with the Nationals tomorrow.
Are you going to hide in the room like you usually do? Will you be behind the Aspidistra?
Yes, I've got my Aspidistra dress, you know, with a motif on it. But yes, they're going to have a meeting and discuss their coalition agreement, and that'll be quite interesting in terms of setting the tone of how far they've got Malcolm Turnbull in a vice-like grip. Of course, he had to make it a similar agreement when he took over from Tony Abbott, and that was seen by a lot of people as the start of all of Malcolm's problems because of various commitments they made. So I think it will be interesting to see what comes out of that. Barnaby Joyce has said he thinks the deal should stay secret, which is basically a pretty silly position, because why make a deal if you can't go around and boast about it, let's be frank. So I think that's going to be a very interesting early sign of how things have landed post-election within the coalition.
The coalition's party room meeting next week, I understand. Will that be happy? Will that be full of jubilation and mutual backslapping or mutual backstabbing?
Well, probably a bit of both, Philip. A lot of you would have seen the footage from the Labor caucus meeting last Friday, and I'm sure for the cameras there'll be a lot of, you know, hip hip hooray and party tunes when the coalition meets and welcomes its various new members. But of course, there are still issues to be settled within the coalition on policy. The Conservatives have sort of been making all sorts of menacing noises. One of the issues, of course, is superannuation. And I think this will be fascinating to watch because, in some ways, despite coming up with slightly different solutions or proposals on what to do about superannuation tax concessions, Labor and the government in the budget were both aiming to trim these concessions back. The Conservatives argue that one of the reasons the vote was so bad for the coalition was because of super. None of the evidence about where the swings occurred backs that. But I think it'll be interesting. You're now seeing senior ministers in the government coming out and saying, fine, well, if you want us to modify super, you've got to find offsetting savings. That's going to be really hard. So it'd be fascinating to watch.
Laura, you've been terrific, and thank you for all your contributions on matters electoral. They've been so splendid, I've decided to give you a koala stamp. Laura Tingle, political editor of the Australian Financial Review. She's won lots of awards, but she's never had a koala stamp before, have you? LNL on RN.